not feeling very well. We've been talking to you a little bit about things in 2020. It's good for us to reflect on the past, of course, and we've done some of that. But we need to also reflect on things that might happen during this year. I want to remind us of some things that could happen, some things that are harmful to us this year, and the deadly traps that can await Christians this year. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. I would suggest to you that the first one of these is the trap of ignorance. The fact that we can become ignorant of certain things. How often have you in your life done something and you said, I wish I hadn't done that because I really knew better. And when it happens to you, it reminds you of what you should have done. That could happen with regard to our home. Maybe we should have taken care of the water heater or something like that. We knew we should have, but we let it slip and we let it go on and we didn't take care of it. And then we have to replace the water heater because maybe we didn't do something we should have done, didn't take care of it. Or maybe our washing machine, the pipes that come to the washing machine, and we know we ought to change those from time to time because they corrode. But we didn't get around to doing that, and all of a sudden we have water in our house because one of the pipes burst. And so we say, I knew I should have done something about that. Well, it's a trap. Ignorance, it's not necessarily that we're ignorant of that, but we play ignorance of that. And it causes us to do certain things. For instance, in the New Testament, the Apostle Peter, when he was writing to the, or speaking rather, to the some of the people in Jerusalem, he said, talking about the crucifixion of Christ, I know that in ignorance you did it, as did also your rulers. Now that doesn't mean that they could not have known better, because there were many prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. As we mentioned in our class this morning, Jesus said, you search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are they that bear witness of me, and you won't come to me that I might have life. Well, the fact of the matter is, those scriptures were pointing toward the coming of Jesus Christ. And the trap of ignorance was that rather than believing those things or accepting those things, they became ignorant of those things, and that's why they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Ignorance comes in many forms, folks. It can come in the form of nature, for instance. We can be ignorant of some things in nature, and we pay the price for being ignorant of those things. It can be idols. People have become so ignorant of the fact that idols have no power whatsoever. They can't do anything. And they turn to idols rather than they turn to the Lord. And that idol might be a figurine, or it might just simply be something in life or a thing that people have, like money or resources or things of that nature. We can become ignorant of certain things. We can become ignorant of the past, of our ancestors, of our fathers, of those that went before me and the things that they experienced, and thus we experience the same thing again. And that's one of the traps that can happen to us in 2020. In Isaiah 45 and verse 20, the prophet of God was writing. He says, gather together, talking to the children of Israel, says, gather together and come and assemble, you who are fugitives from the nations. Ignorant are those who carry about idols of wood, who pray to gods that cannot save. Well, somebody might look to some idol or something in life and think that's all it is. The idea of we only go around in life once, get all the things you get, or as the expression was, get all the gusto you get. But the fact of the matter is, those things cannot save us. They are temporary. They don't last forever. The person who puts his faith in money, money doesn't last forever. In fact, he might lose it in this life, but certainly he can't take it with him when he dies. And so if he puts all of his faith into money, he's put his faith into something that's not secure. Not only may it not be secure in this life, he may lose it in this life, but it's not certainly not secure for eternal life. Sometimes people are ignorant because they refuse to listen to God. That's what Jesus was talking about. Jesus was talking about that when he said, you search the scriptures. You think that in them you have eternal life. And yet they're the very scriptures that talk about me, he said. Well, the fact is they refuse to listen to those scriptures. You will not come to me that you might have life. But that's not the only scripture that talks about people who refuse to listen to God, and therefore they have fallen into the trap of ignorance. In Jeremiah 5 and verse 11, way back in the Old Testament, remember, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. But way back in the Old Testament, in Jeremiah 5:21, Jeremiah speaking says, "Hear this." Or we might say today, "Listen to me." He's speaking to the children of Israel and said, "Hear this, you foolish and senseless people." Well, why were they? "Who have eyes that do not see, who have ears that do not hear." That's what Jeremiah's talking about. You have eyes that do not see. Your eyes are open, but they're not open to the truth. They're not open to the right way. You're ignorant of what you ought to know. You're ignorant of the true way. You have ears that do not hear. Oh, they could hear what they wanted to hear, but they didn't hear the things of God. And that's why I referred to them as foolish and senseless people. Well, in Matthew 13, verse 15, Jesus Christ uses some of that in speaking to the Jews of his age. He says, "This people's heart is waxed gross." He said, "Their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest happily they should perceive with their eyes," or see, perceive, be able to understand with their eyes, "and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart," he says, "and should turn again, then I shall heal them." Why did they not turn to him? Because they'd closed their eyes in a sense. They'd stopped up their ears in a sense. And they'd fallen into the trap of ignorance. And the reason it's so deadly, and why we ought to be aware of the fact that it is a trap in 2020, ignorance is because ignorance can destroy people. It can destroy us spiritually. It could even destroy you physically if you're ignorant of something. For instance, you take a child that picks up a loaded pistol. And we know that you ought not to point a pistol at anybody. We know that. We know that you ought to check the breech and make sure there's not a cartridge in the breech before you even take the pistol to do anything with. You want to make sure it's unloaded. One of the first things you're taught in hunting and so on is be sure that your rifle or your pistol or whatever it is unloaded when you take it out of the car or whatever it is, because you could hit the trigger by accident and shoot somebody. But here's a child who's ignorant of that fact. The child picks up this beautiful, fancy-looking pistol, or maybe even a rifle, because they've heard their dad talk about it or their mother talk about it, and they point it at a brother or sister, and they pull the trigger. And they kill the brother or sister or harm them greatly because they're ignorant of what's taking place. Ignorance can destroy. We understand that in the physical life. It certainly can. A person who's ignorant. And sometimes the ignorance is not that they could have known better. Sometimes they couldn't have known better because it may have happened right away. Several years ago, in Oklahoma, one of the bridges fell. It was hit and it fell. You may remember the story. People were going down Interstate 40 and they went right into the water, into the river, right off of what should have been a bridge. And a lot of people were drowned because they were ignorant of the fact there was a hole there. They didn't see it in time. They couldn't stop in time. Ignorance can be that which will destroy people. Well, certainly that's true in the spiritual realm. In Hosea 4, verses 1 through 6, Hosea, the prophet of God, is speaking. He says, "Hear the word of the Lord. Listen, you Israelites," he said, "because the Lord has a charge to bring against you who live in this land. There is no faithfulness, no love, no acknowledgement of God in the land." You need to be aware that there's none of these things played. There's only cursing, lying, and murder, he said, stealing and adultery. "Though all you Israelites are breaking all bounds," he says, "and bloodshed follows bloodshed. So I will destroy your mother," he says. "My people are destroyed from lack of knowledge." Ignorance can destroy. All these things they were engaging in is because they had forgotten or they're ignorant of the knowledge of God, what God had taught before. He says, "Because you have rejected knowledge." It wasn't, folks, that they couldn't know this. Again, it's like Jesus said, "You search the scriptures." They could have known this. In fact, some of these Jews liked to wear a passage of scripture in a little box tied to them, didn't they? They claimed that they knew the scriptures, but in actuality, they were ignorant of the scriptures. They had forgotten them days without number. In fact, when Ezra came upon the scene, he found the book of God, dusted it off. The people hadn't read it in years. And that's the reason they were living the way they were living. Ignorance can destroy. It is a trap. And the reason it's a trap, folks, is because it can destroy us spiritually in 2020. And it can destroy us in the physical realm if we're ignorant of certain things. He said, because you've rejected knowledge, I will reject your priest. Because you have ignored the law of God, I will also ignore your children, he said. Now when he said ignored the law of God, he means by that, obvious means by that, you could have known it. You could have known the law of God. It's there for you to know. No wonder Paul told Timothy, as we mentioned in our Bible class today, till I come, you give heed to reading. Why? So you can be approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. That's why you study what you read. You don't just read it and say, I read certain scriptures of last night. So you put it on a chart and say, I read the Bible in a year. While that may be good, the real worth of reading the Bible is the study of the Bible. So you understand what's being said, and that's what he's talking about. Well, in 2020, not only is ignorance something that can be a trap, but unbelief can be a trap. That is, not believing some things we know are true, and I just don't believe it. I don't care what it says, I just don't believe it. The trap of unbelief is really, in the spiritual realm, a matter of life or death, as far as spirituality is concerned. In John 8, verse 24, Jesus is speaking, he said, I said therefore unto you, these are the disciples standing out there, the Jews standing out there, the populace standing out there. And he said, I've told you this, that you'll die in your sins, except you believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. Without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto God. The Hebrew writer said in chapter 11, in verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to be well-pleasing unto him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, he said in chapter 11, in verse 6. Well, Jesus is saying the same thing. If you don't believe that I am he, you'll die in your sins. In Hebrews 3 and verse 12, the Hebrew writer said, take heed lest haply there should be any one of you an evil heart of unbelief. Well, what does that cause, a heart of unbelief? It causes one to fall away from the living God, is what he says. So that's the trap in 2020, not to believe what the Lord said. Well, I know the Bible says he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but I just don't believe that. I don't believe I have to do that. In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul said, if our gospel is veiled, he's talking about the gospel is preached here, but somebody puts a veil over. In other words, it's there, you can't get through the veil, but you can't see it. It's there, but it's veiled. He said, it is veiled to them that perish. Why do people perish when the gospel is readily available to them? Because the God of this world has blinded their minds to unbelief, he says. He's blinded the minds of the unbelieving. That's the veil. It's much like Satan, way back in the beginning with Eve, when she said, God said we can't eat of this tree, and the day we eat thereof we shall die. And what did Satan say, or the serpent say? God knows better than that. That's not true, Eve. When you eat of the tree, you'll be like gods. The serpent lied to her. Later on, we refer to the serpent as, in the book of Revelation, he's referred to as Satan. Satan lied to her. He lied to her to get her to do the very thing he wanted her to do. He didn't tell her the truth. In fact, he exchanged the truth of God for a lie, as Paul says in Romans, the first chapter. That's what he did. And Jesus says later on he was the murderer. He's a murderer from the beginning. He murdered the human race in the sense that death came unto all men for all men's sin, because he brought sin upon the earth. That's what he did. And sin passed unto all men because of that. All men's sin. Well, when Paul was talking about that in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, he said some people's minds are blinded because they unbelief. And they're blinded by the god of this world. That's Satan. And the reason he blinds them is so that the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should not dawn upon them, he said. You see, here's a veil.
The gospel is light. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. But you put a veil over that, a big curtain over that, and you can't see the light. That's what Paul's talking about. The God of this world would blind somebody to the gospel. How does He put a veil on it? Well, we can't all understand the Bible alike. There are all these religious people out there, and they tell me I'm all right just as long as I do this or I don't do something else. And so what Satan does is he blinds us to the truth. All these erroneous ideas are out there. And we don't check to see what God really says about it. And sometimes people will twist a scripture in order to promote their own agenda. And we believe that because we think, well, they're religious. Surely there's so many of them, it must be so. Well, folks, there were lots and lots of people that cried out to Jesus, crucify Him, crucify Him. In fact, the majority did, didn't they? The great multitude, the swelling multitude cried out, crucify Him, crucify Him. So it must have been right to crucify Jesus. And the leader said he gets everything he does from Beelzebub. All of his works, they're from Beelzebub, and that means from the devil. So he is a servant of the devil. That's what the leader said, and that's what the people believe. So you have the audience of people. You have this mighty throng of people who wouldn't accept Jesus Christ because of unbelief. And the reason that what Jesus taught or what the prophets had been taught was veiled to them is because they believed all these other things. And yet the Hebrew writer says, without faith you can't be pleasing unto God. The Hebrew writer said, you must believe, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ. What he said, without faith it's impossible to be well pleasing to God, for he that cometh to God, you only come to God, must believe that He is. And He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after Him. We might put this word, He's a rewarder of them that believe. Not unbelief, but believe. That's who He's a rewarder of. So that's a trap in 2020 that we can fall into. What's so sad is so many people do. Someone tells them they don't need to obey the gospel. God's a merciful God. He loves everybody. The love that God has for everybody is that He sent His Son down on the cross that we might, through obedience, come to Him. Through humble obedience. That's the love of God. If God so loved the world that He's going to save everybody, even if they don't do anything, then why in the world did He send His Son, folks? Why would He sacrifice His Son? Why would Jesus Christ sacrifice Himself if everybody's going to be saved anyway? No matter what they do or what they say or what they don't do or don't say. Well, what's another one? How does unbelief affect us? Let's go back to that just for a minute. How does unbelief affect us? Well, we might know but not believe God's Word. We might know but not believe it. We might believe but think it doesn't matter about worship or work or the organization of church. It doesn't really make any difference because we don't necessarily believe that's important anyway. We need to have the attitude of a father of a child. In Mark 9 and verse 24, we're told that the father, this is immediately the father cried out and said, I do believe. Help my unbelief. He's talking to Jesus there, by the way. He says, overcome my unbelief. I do believe. That's what we need to say about ourselves. So the trap of unbelief will cause us what? To suffer consequences. That's true even in life. I didn't believe I had to do that. Have you ever been audited by the IRS? I have a lot of times. They seem to like to audit preachers all the time. I have. And Marty and I would try to do everything the way we were supposed to do it. We thought we were doing it right, and then we'd get a letter from them. Well, we've looked at your forms, and we've decided you owe this kind of money. And you can protest it. You can send us a letter, and we'll talk. Well, I did that a few times. And they would point out, well, now the law over here, I know you thought that, but here's the rest of it over here. And I'd have to say, well, I didn't know that. If I'd known that, I would have done this. I have written letters to them and said, I don't want to break the law. Whatever the law is, you tell me what it is and I'll do it. Trouble is, a lot of times they don't know what it is. But the fact of the matter is, because of unbelief, you suffer the consequence, you have to come up with another check. That's what you have to do a lot of times. But there's also in 2020, there can be the trap of lukewarmness. There can be the trap of the fact that people are luke and they're not warm to the things of God. In Revelation 3, verses 15 and 16, John was writing the words of Jesus Christ and said to this church at Laodicea, he said, I know that you are lukewarm. Why did he say that? Because he said you're neither hot nor cold. You're not hot or cold. I wish you were one or the other, he said. So because you're lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit thee or spew thee out of my mouth. That's what I'll do. I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Well, of course, one of the biggest things of all that can happen to us in 2020 is to be sinners. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do that, but there is the trap of sin when an individual sins. Sometimes when people sin, not any accusation to any of you, but sometimes when people sin, it's pointed out to them, their pride will not allow them, or they're so prideful, maybe I ought to put it that way, that they will not acknowledge they sin. They won't do what David said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He recognized what he had done. Now, it had to be pointed out to him, but as soon as it was pointed out to him, he said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. In Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, the Hebrew writer said, as long as it is called today, he said, be careful lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. Because if you do, you'll fall away from the living God, he said. Don't be hardened, he said, by the deceitfulness of sin. Don't be doing it. What he's saying is, I'm writing these things to warn you not to be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I don't want you to be a sinner because the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. So I don't want that to happen to you. I don't want you to think because when you're tempted of God. If really God is tempting us to do this, then God's putting this on us. And someone might say, well, God made me that way. The idea is, when they say that, is God's tempted me. God made me this way. And since he made me this way, I'm going to have to give in to it anyway. No, no, no. James said, let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted with God, because God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no man, he said. Well, what happens to us? Each man is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lust or his own desires. And he's enticed by the desires. And then the desire, when it is conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it becomes full grown, brings forth death. In other words, we give in to the sin, it brings forth death. So the idea is, one can be trapped in sin. He can do it so long that it doesn't bother him anymore. You ever heard about people searing their conscience to the point the conscience doesn't work anymore? The Bible talks about a seared conscience. A person who does something so long that it doesn't bother him. He doesn't have any qualms about it anymore. It becomes second hand to him. It becomes second nature to him. It becomes the tenor of his life. In James 5, verses 19 and 20, James was speaking. He said, if any among you err from the truth, and one convert him, let him that converteth the sinner from the error of his ways, let him know that he'll save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. What happens when we give in to sin? Well, we'll die. That's what James said. We'll die. It brings forth death if we let it conceive and let it bring forth birth and let it become full grown. We'll die. But if we turn away from that, our soul is saved from death. And the sin is covered over, is the idea. In Hebrews 12 and verse 2, Hebrew, I was writing to a group of Christians, said, let us also, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, lay aside every weight. Well, what are the weights? The sin which so easily besets us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. In other words, you keep your eyes on Jesus and maybe you won't sin as often, is the idea. Lay aside the sin which so easily besets us. If you think about that just for a moment, what he's talking about is Sin is a very easy thing to do. Folks, people wouldn't sin if it wasn't pleasurable. If it wasn't something they want to do. And the reason I know that is because James said they're drawn away by their own lust. That's why we sin. And we're tempted about it, and then we give in to it. And so when the Hebrew writer was writing here, he said unto them, we're compassed about by so great a cloud of witnesses, so let's lay aside every weight. And what is that weight? The sin which easily besets us. It's easy, because that's what we want to do. So the trap of 2020 could be this, couldn't it? The trap of 2020 could be sin. Now, I know we don't want to do that, so let's make sure we don't. Let's go back and believe everything Jesus says. Let's study the Word of God so we won't. So we can handle it right, the Word of truth, so we can go to heaven when we die. There are traps that can happen to us in 2020. There are traps. And there are harmful traps because they can destroy us. And that's why we want to be sure that we don't fall into the traps that can happen to us. Those traps are out there by the devil, of course. He walks to and fro upon there, seeking whom he may devour. That's what Peter said about the devil. He wants to destroy people. So the trap I'm talking about is not just some easy something that we can get away from. But the trap I'm talking about is something that can cause us to be destroyed. And that what that is the trap of sin. That's what it is. It's the trap of sin. We want to be careful that that doesn't happen to us. So how do we get away from that harmful trap in 2020? Well, we make sure our lives are commensurate with the testimony of God. Or as Jesus said, we come unto Him, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let's don't fall into the traps that we've been talking about today. And we could talk about some others, some sub-subjects of others. But the fact is, we don't want to fall in them because they're harmful things. They're harmful things and they're deadly things and they're waiting out there. I could have put something on there. Who's waiting out there to trap us? It's Satan. And his ministers of light. They fashion themselves as ministers of light. He doesn't tell us, you know, that he's going to preach darkness. He doesn't tell us it's going to cause us to be lost. He tells us we can live there. Oh, you go your way and I'll go mine. We'll both get to heaven at the very same time. That's what he says. Ah, God didn't mean that. He's going to save you anyway. He's such a good guy. He'll save you anyway. No matter what. But if that's the case, folks, why, again, I ask you the question, why did Christ come? Why did he have to? If God's going to save everybody, whether they do anything he asks them to do or not. Look in your song book to the song we're about to sing. Why not give the Lord your life now? Why not do it today? January 2020. You look back on that. That's the day I gave my life to Christ, and he's owned my life ever since then. You may live a year. You may live 2 months. You may live 40 years. You may live 50 years. You may live 80 years, however long you live after you obey the gospel. You're just faithful to the Lord. He said, if you'll be faithful till the day you die, I'll give you the crown of life. Look at verse 3 particularly. Come to Christ, confession make. Come to Christ and pardon take. Trust in Him from day to day and He will keep you all the way. Why not come to Jesus now is what the court said. I know you believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Believing that, will you do something with that belief? Will you let it become a part of your makeup? Will you come to Jesus right now? Give your life to Him in humble obedience. Confess your faith in Him. Turn from every kind of life you had in the past, and you're going to turn to Christ. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith in Christ. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Rise to walk in newness of life. A new life that you can keep and hold on to. To the very day of judgment. Can I help you do that?